Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 255 of the Dudes and Beer podcast, now officially brought to you by podcastcadet.com. If you're a fan of podcasts like me, if you have a podcast like me and want to take it to the next level, hit up podcastcadet.com today. Use DUDES20 upon checkout to save 20% off your cart. It's great. They have tons of custom services that help you out with your podcast, everything from branding to distribution to monetization, all kinds of great stuff. Stop on by podcastcadet.com today. Use the code DUDES20 upon checkout. Our guest tonight, the indomitable John Bound, is back. I'm back in town. He is based here in Austin. So it was one of those like, man, with everything going on with the coronavirus right now, as of last week, whenever we did our pre-record, we had like 10,000 infected across the world. Now the number is closer to about 24,000. We have doubled in but a week. We're talking about 492 deaths worldwide, 907 people recovered. So there is hope. There's not horrible stuff going on. But we do have a quick report about all the impeachment stuff and everything going on from John Bound that we're about to play. So let's get into that, and then we will break into this coronavirus and news of course, the CIA censoring Hollywood. Why wouldn't they be? Here we go. John Bound with Daily News Collective.
The Iowa debacle all began with the traditional Des Moines Register poll being shut down after pollsters were accused of improper questioning. While Las Vegas bookies put Bernie Sanders ahead, as the Miami Herald reported, three major sports books, MyBookie, Bovada, and BetOnline, all have Sanders established as the chalk to win the Democratic Iowa caucus balloting. The DNC was clearly buckling at the thought of Bernie Sanders making Joe Biden look like a clown at the Oracle of Presidential Elections, the Iowa caucus.
Okay, the idea of the caucus itself has failed to meet the viability threshold, because we've all been saying the whole time, why Iowa in the first place? It's 90% white. You know, when you have a party as diverse as this, to be in a state that's not diverse is terrible.
And as CNN and Van Jones pushed the divide and conquer narrative, the votes weren't coming in.
What is going on? We have mentioned in 2016, by this point, basically 90% plus of the vote was in. In every other modern Iowa Democratic caucus, the victory speeches had already been delivered. I can tell you the Iowa Democratic Party now isn't saying anything. We have reached out to them. We have asked them, are you having any particular issues? If you are having any particular issues, what are those issues? Do you have an ETA on when you will begin releasing results? No answer, no answer, no answer. We asked them if they would put a communications representative on the air to explain what's going on. No answer to that either. As you can see, we've been showing scenes from these precinct caucus sites around the state. You now have multiple precinct caucus sites where you've got cameras that are emptied out right now. They've had the vote. They've had the multiple rounds. Folks have left. There are tabulations that clearly have taken place in those precincts, and yet nothing has been reported out statewide at this point.
Which is the fact that he's now waiting in the wings, waiting in Super Tuesday, potentially to...
Was it the app, who some reported reset itself? Or as NBC reported, the Iowa Democratic Party said Tuesday that its new app, meant to speed up the reporting of caucus results, suffered from a coding issue that instead led to a significant delay in counting and reporting results. CNN's Wolf Blitzer had to stick his nose in it, only adding to the fair election mockery unfolding in Iowa.
Sean, have you gotten any explanation at all as to what's going on?
No, I have not. No. I'm just waiting on hold and doing my best to report the results from my precinct.
What are you hearing? I know you're listening to a conversation from the Iowa Democratic Party.
This is a real coincidence, Wolf. I just got off hold just now. So I've got to get off the phone to report the results.
All right. Go ahead and report your
favorite
results. Can we
part.
Listen
I
in
love this.
Report?
I love this.
Sean?
Yep.
All right. Cool. Let's listen.
All right. Okay. Hi. Hello? They hung up on me. They hung up on me. Okay. I've got to get back in line on hold. Oh. They just hung up.
It's so frustrating indeed. Sean, we're going to stay in close touch with you. Sean Sebastian from Story County out in Iowa, a precinct secretary, just wanted to report the results of the caucus there. And clearly, for an hour, he was on hold, finally got through, and then all of a sudden, not happening now.
The firm named Shadow, which was paid by both the Iowa Democratic Party and Pete Buttigieg's campaign, reportedly developed the app said to be responsible for the delayed election results in the Iowa caucus. And even though there were no results whatsoever, Pete Buttigieg, a financer of the app in question, declared himself victorious, taking the opportunity to bask in his own delusions.
And tonight, Iowa chose a new path. From river to river, in churches and community centers and high school gyms, you joined your neighbors to say that the time has come to turn the page and open up a new chapter in the American story.
But the big winner of the night was actually President Trump, who won a speedy victory, as the New York Times had reported that President Trump netted over 26,000 votes, or 96.8% of all those cast. The big question, other than where are the votes, was how was the DNC capable of screwing up, or worse, manipulating something as simple and transparent as the Iowa caucus? One thing is clear, the Democrats have zero respect or patience for maintaining the responsibility to honor the vote of the people. Are they even fit to carry on as a political party within the Republic? John Bound reporting.
And John Bound always laying it down. I mean, quite honestly, that was one of my favorite moments ever. Welcome, John Bound.
John Bound laying it downtown,
laying
all around.
It downtown,
what
all
have
around.
You found, my friend?
Well, and you know, John, what I love is that you really do just put things out there.
Yeah, I try to put things out there. It's more like, you know, basically what I do every day. You know, you can kind of tell that I'm tired in my voice. I listen back to my voice, and I did that this morning. That was 7:30 in the morning. I still probably sound tired, but, you know, basically what I do, my reports, the way I look at them now, is I get up and I load up a garbage can full of all of the insanity in the world, and I put it all together, try to bring you relevant clips that are new, as fast as possible, coming from a news background, grew up in a newsroom. You know, I love the news. It's like, to me, it's like a sport.
It is. It's a contact sport, most definitely.
Yeah. I mean, if you do it properly, I mean, you can really get in there, and it's a physical thing, but you can be casual about
and
it.
It's,
at the same
it's,
time.
It's interesting. You know, like, we don't talk a lot of politics on this show. We really don't. I don't like getting into politics. Yeah, well, there are plenty enough shows out there. I mean, you want to watch politics? Turn on any alphabet soup station, and you can hear or watch
just
politics.
Just bring it down. Yeah, I'd rather talk about Rush, man.
Yeah,
I could talk about Rush. For like
we've done Rush episodes.
4 hours because I can't talk about it. I live in a house full of women, and I can't talk about Rush around women. They really get angry.
Well. What I find interesting, though, is that this whole impeachment that just happened came about because of election meddling, that kind of stuff. And quite, you know, we know that, yes, Russia made some social media posts. They definitely interfered in that way. They didn't do anything to actively hack an election system. You know, they definitely hacked the hearts and minds of people. But I don't think that that's anything beyond what our mainstream media does on the daily. I don't think it's anything beyond what literally Wolf Blitzer just did live on air. Homie's job was to report the results for his district. Man. And his reporting was delayed because Wolf Blitzer was like, hey, can you conference us in? Oh, they just hung up on me. now I've got to jump in another hour-long line to report my results.
Right,
like,
right.
You just actively right. meddled with the system,
right.
too.
Right.
No, you didn't change any results.
I mean,
but you definitely delayed those results coming in.
Yeah. Putin doesn't have a show on CNN.
No,
see what I'm saying there? You say the Russians meddling in our elections is nothing compared to what this Project Mockingbird freak of nature that is our media.
Well, and you know, we talk about that a lot, John. Let's kind of break down
our elections.
If you go to
politicians that they all spend their propaganda for.
Well, sure.
Russia is like just like the Olympics, man. Russia wins a few events, okay?
Yeah.
And the Americans, we just dominate. Well, that's what we're doing to our elections, okay? If there was an event for dominating and controlling elections, the Americans would be winning and, you know, the Russians would have the bronze medal. I mean, Project Mockingbird. I hate to call it the mainstream media. I would rather call it Mockingbird Media, and it sounds like maybe it's an insult, but actually I'm just trying to educate you that the media, since the 1950s, has been controlled by the CIA, and we're living in a time now where our entire culture has been dominated by that control. If you look at
it's
MTV...
It's definitely been usurped.
The easiest way to look at it to prove my point is that is if you look at MTV, it doesn't exist anymore. We don't have musicians that are pushing these major messages to inform the populace because the CIA wants to control that message, and they control it through Hollywood, and they've done it for 20 years. I was a DJ, okay? Like the Tom Petty song says, the last DJ. And, you know, and... I saw it end. I saw all those great musicians just be put in a closet somewhere, lock the door. There will be no more great American musicians. We're going to present, you know, Shakira and J-Lo to you until she's 100 years old, man.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm actually going actively right now to find Family Jewels is actually the name of this document. If you go to dudesandbeer.com/knowledge vault, we talk about these programs a lot on this show, John. And Dudes and Beer actively started a knowledge vault a couple years ago that is just now chock full of declassified government documents where whenever we talk about things like, oh, the TR-3B triangular aircraft, you know, that the Navy patented, and people are like, what are you talking about? Where, you know, like the Navy patented a UFO.
What do you got over.
This is actually Family Jewels. This is the actual document talking about the Mockingbird media that you were talking about from 1947, talking about opinions that conflict with the National Security Act, things like that.
Can your viewers see that?
They
can.
No,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I put them up so that people understand the fact that I'm not a crazy person.
No.
We aren't crazy bringing up things like Operation Mockingbird that the CIA wanted to use to take over the media.
It's a genre of literature. It's a genre of literature is declassified government documents.
Man, I've got thousands of pages of them.
They're real. I mean,
it's a thing.
That's nonfiction as it gets, you know.
Feel free to follow along, kids. Follow the bouncing ball.
It's not, you know.
So, dudesandbeer.com/knowledge.
I think we're going
to take
what
it
is
knowledge
with people
vault.
Like us. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're going to come up with
names. We are not. Note that. Not.
I would say more a better definition would be like.
We are hypothesists.
We're
hypothesis, John. I raise that point on this show all the time. Conspiracy theory is a term that was literally made up by the actors that we're talking about, the CIA, to describe people and concepts that did not fit within their box, that did not fit specifically within the Warren Commission report and the given narrative of the death of John F. Kennedy. That is where the term conspiracy theory was coined. Yeah. It is now officially, according to FBI documents, a term associated with domestic terrorism. So we don't use that term. We use the term because we follow the scientific method on this show, hypothesis, theory, you know?
Yeah.
So we can hypothesize anything we want. Theories prove or disprove the hypothesis.
That's coming to an end.
So,
and as we go into the next topic, I think that's Oliver Stone's main complaint is that we can't hypothesize.
No, we can't because we
will get if there are certain things that you want to talk about.
Well, we can't. It's not even that we can't hypothesize.
I can't do reports about certain topics. You know what I mean?
It's not that we can't even hypothesize, John. The issue that we're talking about with the CIA actively censoring Hollywood media, things like that. It's not even hypothesis. They are censoring fact. They are, and remember, folks, fact is pejorative. It is utterly up to the observer. It's just like time. John and I can experience the exact same situation.
I mean, look at the impeachment
at the
trial.
Exact same time.
You've got those facts, and you've got two complete perceptions of the facts.
Well, facts are relative to the observer.
I guess so.
They are absolutely relative to the observer.
But they can be proved.
Sure.
A fact can be proved.
A fact can be proven.
Even if you don't want to believe that fact, well, there's really nothing you can
how
do
you
about it.
How you take that fact, it how you process truth. And filter that okay. fact.
All right, now we're off into the
is
truth.
Relative to
right,
the
now,
observer.
Now
so,
we're getting the Socratic
and this is where we
theorems.
Start getting into how they manipulate our minds. Because when they say fake news, and that becomes part of the paradigm, and that becomes part of the language that is used on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like you train your dog.
Yeah.
You know,
it's no different.
That's what the television is. It's our master. It's our master.
Yeah. And, you know, to know that programs like Operation Mockingbird were on the table, programs like Operation Northwoods were on the table, where it was like, you know what we should do to be able to topple foreign governments a whole lot faster and easier without congressional permission necessarily, but support of popular opinion, is to bomb local targets in the United States and blame it on another government or foreign actors, you know, and then we can go in and do whatever we want to because, hey, you know, we're just getting justice. and look at what our means of war are ever since. It's no coincidence that things run this way.
You're talking about Operation Garden Plot. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I mean these,
and that's the whether it's
Operation Gladio, what have you, these things that are
and they've got a cast of characters
in the
for Garden
conspiracy
Plot,
theory range are right there in declassified documents.
Well, the history of Project Mockingbird is it's really fascinating because it really reads like a history of our modern times. I mean, if you go through Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters, that's all CIA. That's a CIA operation. The whole the hippie movement.
Oh, the dosing of the public and everything else
was controlled
absolutely.
By the CIA.
Yeah.
You get into Owsley, you know, people know what I'm talking about. You know, that's the CIA. They created all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, all the symbolism, and they've been controlling scripts for decades and every image. So,
well, and that's just it, is that it's not just concepts that we have. It's literally the image
symbols.
Of the military.
Yeah.
And it's the fact of like, no, we will not allow you to portray the military or the intelligence community in this way. And it's like, but this is a factual way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't portray us that way.
Right. We're going to do an hour-long documentary on how you guys drone that wedding party in Pakistan, and all of the guys we're interviewing are from the Pentagon. They aren't going to show up.
Yeah,
but you know they should.
Yeah,
and but you also, if you actually go to Hollywood and you have enough money to back something, an idea like that up, you're really asking for trouble.
Yeah,
they're going to put you on the short list.
Well, I mean, I had Gold Star Mother Susan Price on all of right up around New Year. One of the first shows of New Year, and man, to hear her story of her son and his involvement in the intelligence community, the way that he was basically sent out to Afghanistan as a means by which to get rid of him and the knowledge that he had. You know, we've said numerous times on this show, whenever the CIA, whenever ATF, any of these alphabet agencies are called before Congress, doesn't matter. I'd like you to show me the instance where they came out of the wash clean, or where they didn't have prior knowledge to the event.
Every time it's like a country
every
club.
Time.
Every time it's like a country club, like, you know, they're in their country club in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
How dare we call them out to answer for all the crazy stuff they've been doing in their country club?
Thank you for curtailing that, because I know you like a brother, John Bowne.
I did want to say it.
Good job.
But I didn't.
I know, you didn't.
I didn't.
You didn't pick that low-hanging fruit.
Even after having two of these excellent beers from Austin, Texas, which we won't give the name of.
That's all right. We can talk about Hops and Grain. Hops and Grain used to be a sponsor. They are absolutely still one of my favorite go-to beers. Mosaic is absolutely great. If you are of age, drink responsibly, enjoy responsibly. We're having a couple this evening, as the name of the show dictates.
Very hoppy beer.
But, you know, it's interesting to me, John, to see how the media, like we were saying at the top of the show, absolutely play their part in the control of the dialogue, in the control of election process. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, even down to the point that they control who gets up on stage and debates.
Well, let's just bring up Wolf Blitzer one more time.
Yeah, delaying somebody's results from coming in on TV.
That doesn't seem like he presented a problem we haven't even created a law for. You know, if you're the news cannot get involved in our elections.
No.
You know, who knows?
No, it can't.
Who knows if that guy wasn't, if he hadn't have got in, the whole thing would have worked. You know what I mean? Who knows?
Well, and that's something else is the whole.
Maybe the whole thing is Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah. Because, I mean, right now, as of right now,
really
we have no vote. We have no vote from the Iowa caucus.
Yeah.
No vote from the Iowa caucus whatsoever. And we'll find out. We'll figure it out.
I'm not saying it is.
No, it's not Wolf Blitzer, folks.
Of course I'm joking. And it's not Corona. Corona beer is not in the coronavirus.
That's right.
It's not in Corona beer.
That's right. They do not have anything to do with each other.
No.
But what does have to do with each other is absolutely the control of the dialogue. And where I'm going with this, folks, follow me, is the fact that, of course, we participate in propaganda. That is why the CIA actively, whenever the CIA is editing a Hollywood script or telling Hollywood, you can't say this, that makes it propaganda. Because now you are deciding how somebody slants a story to tell a story. You know, whenever it's like, oh, we can't do that because the U.S. Army won't look good. Hey, maybe the U.S. Army didn't do something good. They may have done something horrible. How are we supposed to make them look good?
Can I read a few of these quotes from Oliver Stone?
Go ahead, yes.
Okay, so this
personal hero to both of us.
Yeah, and actually somewhat of an acquaintance.
Oh, yeah.
Oddly enough. RT, Hollywood has been more heavily censored since 2001. Films bashing U.S. Army and CIA can't go public. Now, that is just such a small part of the whole thing, because you also got to add to this, you know, lest people forget that the Chinese for the past couple of years have been dominating, propagandizing our American films. Top Gun is a very good example. They had to change the jackets they wore.
Oh, dude, you also remember when they had to completely redo Red Dawn?
Thank you very much. Yeah, exactly. Great movie. I love the original.
We can't have it be the Chinese. We can make it the North Koreans, though.
What a great movie, though. If anybody out there has not seen the original Red Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
You're
great.
You're
you
really
want to talk about a great original piece of propaganda. There it is.
You
want to
feel like an American? You watch that.
Go watch you some Red Dawn.
Yeah, and obviously, and there you go. We can't we can't make an updated version of Red Dawn that makes you feel like an American. And so one of his quotes was, Hollywood has changed since 2001. It's become more censored. The military, the CIA, the depictions of these organizations has been very favorable. The CIA realized after World War II, basically, they went into the business, the news business. They put their people, their agents at newspapers and at magazines and television.
Yep.
And one last one, empires fall. Let's pray that this empire, these evil things, because we are the evil empire, what Reagan said about Russia is true about us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, and you, if you happen to hear or see or anything, any kind of advertisement of this, we should just put Oliver Stone.
I am Reagan.
Please come on the show.
I am Reaganite by proxy. I would love to have Oliver Stone on the show to talk about the history of this. The Untold History of America is one of my favorite series out there. I've watched it probably three times.
He is exactly... not only is he right, but his life is determined by these forces.
Yeah.
His life, you know, Stanley Kubrick, we don't really know what happened to Stanley Kubrick.
No.
You know, Eyes Wide Shut got him in a lot of trouble, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that's sure what it looks like. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there going, you guys are morons. Of course it was Eyes Wide Shut. We have the, you know, we have all the evidence, but, I think Stanley, you know, and there are other people in Hollywood that do meet those strange Stanley Kubrick kind of ends. And so, you know, Oliver Stone is really, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, he's really been a pioneer.
He really has been for the truth movement, for disclosure, for all kinds of things. And that's what I love about him is that he's not afraid to call him out on the carpet and to say, like, this is just what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
No different than our guest that we've had on numerous times, Raul Diego, with Deep City Chronicles, and his docuseries Borderline, going into the long history of drug running in America, all the way back to our founding fathers, and the fact that the slave trade was based on the exact same route as the original opium trade.
Oh, that's good and, stuff. Where do you I know, find that like, show?
You can get right here on Dudes
can
and
we
Beer.
Listen to it right now?
No, well, no, we're not going to listen to it right now.
Because we're doing a show.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a show, John. it's... to me, not a hard leap. It's really not hard to see once you learn to kind of step back from the spider web, you can see the fact that there are numerous spiders that have built a community of webs that are all together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's more than one spider in the web. You're just so close that you're only seeing the one.
I mean, just imagine the most insane Atlantean environment you can imagine, like on Earth. These people in the media, they have special access to these places that we could only dream of. And they go in there and they say, okay, look at this. You can be a part of this giant club. And it looks like heaven. You know, I mean, it's just...
yeah.
And there are different laws there and stuff. You know, it's just like this other... you know, it's this Crowleyan paradise. And... you know, we're not a part of that. And so they go to that club and we've reached this point, you know, like 40 years later, 40 years, 1950. So 70 years later.
Well, granted, you know, let's take a look right
almost
here.
Almost 100 years.
Let's take a look right here.
Yeah.
Family Jewels, 1973.
Yeah.
That's when Operation Mockingbird and everything else.
I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
And you know,
I wasn't even there yet.
Born into it, man.
That's pre-Chris Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, we're running around filming with Super 8s, wearing bell bottoms.
Yeah,
you know.
And this was quite literally the lessons that they
records.
That much like
eight track was a big deal when it came out. You know, that's well, how old well, I am.
Much like.
No, that's not true. It's already out.
Much like the Brookings Report, very much sculpted the way that research into extraterrestrial intelligence, anything like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Fact that the U.S. government put forth research saying if we continue with space exploration, since Sputnik happened and we're looking at launching people and stuff like that, what are the possibilities?
Right.
And that's where we get the idea of space-based weapons. That's where we got the idea of transmitting television and radio signals across the world, mm-hmm. Seamlessly. That's where it was also said that if we happened across an extraterrestrial intelligence, it would be better not to tell the people, because it would cause mass panic.
You know, what's really interesting is that we're on this rock in the middle of this humongous unknown universe. Like, we only know, like, what 1% maybe? And what we're doing right now, and we're talking about the other media and how they're, you know... But really, in the grand scheme of things, this, we're like fleas on the back of a flea.
Yeah.
And what we're transmitting right now is going out into space.
Oh, yeah.
And it will. It'll continue. So all of this stuff that's here on Earth, whatever happens to us, can all be judged by a completely detached alien race. And they can look at us and go, wow, those people were, you know... Whatever they were, you know, the Democrats,
those people are whack.
They were ruthless. Look at
those
incredibly ruthless people, you know.
Well,
look at those people that think that truth is important. They're interesting, aren't they? Ha ha ha. I don't, you know, however aliens think.
And
they don't think like we do.
Well, and that's where we start getting, and that's just it. The government does not think like we do.
No.
These intelligence agencies do not think like we do. That's what allows them to obfuscate things. That's also what allows them to literally put things in plain view and never be questioned. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, you know, we've had such a bloody, you know, I grew up in Kentucky, man, and we call it the cold, bloody ground. And it's true. Like, you know, you go there if you're there on a quiet night and the fog's around and you're on a hill and the moon's up, you can feel like the bodies that were on the ground, you know. And that's our history. And it's been with us forever, you know, that cold, bloody ground. You take that and you think of the most compressed, darkest reality of that. And that... is in our intelligence community. They've put that in a laboratory, that darkness of our history, that, you know, the evil and that horror and tragedy, and they've marketed it to the point to, you know, they are their budget, was it a trillion?
Unfortunately, it really has become the think tank of misery.
What was it?
You know? The last black budget?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a T.
Is it 4 trillion?
Yeah, there were definitely a few T's in there. But, you know, it's a sad thing. I said a long time ago, it's a sad thing when misery becomes the norm. And we have become that way in this country. We have become that way with our media. We have become that way... with all of it. And that very much leads to the hero syndrome. That very much leads
1.3 trillion.
That very much leads to the somebody help us get out. And that's where we start getting into trouble. That's where we start allowing media to make decisions for us.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And unfortunately... our government knows that. Our intelligence communities know that. Other governments know that. Like, we have a Department of Anti-Propaganda. All right? So, isn't that just propaganda?
Yeah, we do have a Department of Anti-Propaganda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it in itself is propaganda.
That's what I'm saying. It's propaganda.
Yeah.
Just like no difference. Wolf Blitzer delaying somebody.
It's doublespeak.
Exactly. Just like Wolf Blitzer saying, like, hold on.
It's
let us tap into what you're going to report. We want to hear what you're going to report. Oh yeah, because of this delay, they hung up on me. Like, you technically just delayed results. You and yourself interfered with the process, and you're complaining about people interfering with the process. And we allow this to happen with intelligence communities. We allow this stuff to go on, because we are a democracy. However, the good people of China,
not so much,
are not a democracy. They not do so not much. Have a say. They nope. did not have a law that prevented this that was struck down. We at one point had a law, the Smith-Mundt Act, that was struck down in 2012 that now allows the government to tell the media what to say.
Yeah, again, and I realize there are many interpretations of what happened there.
Sure.
There's an entire propaganda movement out there saying that the Smith-Mundt Act, which, you know, it sounds like it's straight out of a Kurt Vonnegut novel, you know, and then the Smith-Mundt Act was, you know, which the Smith-Mundt Act should be renamed as the Control of Communications Act, basically, because
break that down.
Well, it should, so you automatically understand it. This act is the control. Who's going to have control of the communications? So, you know, we have a Bill of Rights. We have certain rights. Of course, they get trampled by our government all the time. But this was another one that said that control, they can't control propaganda and, you know, put it out upon the American people. They're over in other countries doing Tokyo Rose and all that other propaganda using that. And they, to this day, you know, they use it, you know, in the Middle East and so on and so forth. They broadcast things to Americanize the public.
They drop pamphlets.
Right. So
all kinds of stuff.
What they've done is, over the years, they've turned that into gold.
You can do it in a foreign country.
Right. Well, you could.
There is no law that says we cannot do it in a foreign country, but we cannot disseminate it amongst the American people within our borders.
That was the
Smith-Mundt
Act.
We cannot use the media to push the same newsreel that we're pushing in a French theater.
Right. And that was what the Smith-Mundt Act said.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, they took that away.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're going to Tokyo Rose the United States. Have fun, boys.
Yeah.
We're going to Hollywood, you know. And that's the way it's been ever since.
Well, and that's just it. And that's exactly what Oliver Stone is talking about. Yeah. The fact that our government has stepped in and said, no, we can't publish this. We can't do this. We got to clean that up and everything else. Whereas the Chinese government has straight up controlled what has come out to the world as well.
Well, we have active censorship. It's just bottom line. We have a place that says you cannot say these keywords.
Yeah.
You can't say Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You can't say that. They'll come and find you for saying that name.
They're finding me right now.
I'm sorry. Exactly.
Well, the thing is, though, with the confirmed now at almost 25,000, 24.5 is what we're at. It's interesting to know that the original reports, this is a live count from World of Meters.
Okay, about a week ago, the Blaze TV, I don't know how that video is going now, but it was from a Chinese nurse, and she had the numbers.
I remember, because we were talking about 90,000.
That was a week ago.
And
they built hospitals overnight. You think
they did.
You think they did that for 25,000 people?
This is just confirmed. Now,
they've always lied to us.
This is just confirmed cases, not the people.
Given you that report, but
not
that
the people.
Like,
no, I remember the report because we were talking about it on air last time.
Yeah.
And it's in the show notes last time.
Melamine scandal.
Yeah.
SARS.
Yeah.
They've lied every time. There's no way they're telling us the truth. There's no way
yeah.
that those numbers are correct. None. They even if they're off by one person, you know, five people, those numbers cannot be correct. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chinese government. I don't believe your numbers.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Thinking outside the old box there, aren't we?
And right now we're up against the fact that we still don't have a cure for it. We're looking at a few hundred dead worldwide.
Right, right.
Not a, and granted,
did you
not
see
a crazy number when we're talking about the, even if you're talking about 24,000, mm-hmm. even if the number was 24,000
confirmed mortality rate, which is probably the best news.
Yeah.
If it gets up to 10%, then people are, their lungs are filling up with fluids and so on. But right now, it is spreading like wildfire. The from what I've gotten from scientific journals, it actually triples every time
yeah.
it goes out. It triples, so it is spreading like a flu virus, but it's only a 2% mortality, which means you could probably survive it. Now there was a guy in England who drank warm whiskey and honey and beat it, and that just came out. I saw that earlier today, but. And they're using HIV.
You know, here's the thing. I did hear about the HIV going on.
That's totally
the
an English
drugs.
Thing to do, by the way.
But
I'll just drink the old whiskey.
Oh, no, I'm Cajun, man. And I'm here to tell you, you want to get rid of something, just throw some whiskey at it.
Yeah, just put some whiskey on
throw
it.
Throw some whiskey and honey at it. You got disinfectant on both ends with the alcohol and the honey. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. That sounds good right about now, actually.
We can handle that up after
honey
the show.
And, honey and warm whiskey.
But
man, you might have to change the name of the show.
But yeah, the not yet.
Dudes the, and
honey
warm,
and warm,
warm
whiskey.
Whiskey and honey.
Welcome to the Dudes and Honey and Warm Whiskey Show.
There you go.
We blame John Bound for this name.
In like 2 years, it'll be the Dudes and Methamphetamine
with
the, Show.
With about 10 no, minutes just, left here in the show, John.
Sorry,
trying
sorry,
to.
That wasn't fun.
You know, somebody shared a meme with me when I was on the road. I actually shared it with you. It was very, very hilarious to me the fact that Corona is an anagram, at least somewhat an anagram for raccoon, which the video game.
That one doesn't freak me out as much as the other one, but. But please,
it was just hilarious to me the fact that the Umbrella Corporation,
the thing about
created
Corona, this
virus
isn't a new
that
name.
Went loose in a no.
This is yeah.
Oh no! Coronavirus is just a form of virus.
Well, the name itself has been used. It's already been used.
Yeah.
For decades.
Yeah.
You know, after the Spanish flu, there's coronaviruses. Yeah. So that. You know, tying that in just kind of throws me off. But the Umbrella Corporation thing from Resident Evil, I'm going to go watch Resident Evil now and start looking for clues because the lab there that it probably escaped from, and I'm saying probably with a lot of weight because there's a lot of evidence that shows that it probably did.
Yeah, the one in Wuhan, China that was
I don't know if you want to get into all the science.
Inspected in 2017. Well, no, absolutely. Let's get into it.
First of all, it's 20 miles away from the wet market. Do you realize how huge China is? Why does that lab have to be 20 miles away from the place they say it came from? You know?
Yeah, it's definitely within outbreak.
They're
range.
Not even good at propaganda in China. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're going to lie, make it look good. But that's just stupid.
Yeah.
So the lab is just down the block, basically, from where
they right up around the
somebody
corner.
Was eating some bat soup or chewing on a snake or something, or, you know. But no, the lab is 20 miles south. And then on the building, there's a symbol. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have, probably. If you're listening to this, you probably have. And it basically looks like the Iron Cross kind of doubled. It is an ancient symbol, and it, you know, it makes you wonder where its true origins are, if they really are Chinese or if this is a larger secret society that this is representing. But the very same symbol is in the Resident Evil movies. And, of course, Resident Evil is a zombie horror genre flick where basically the world has been, you know, dosed with what may have come out of this very same lab.
Yeah, I mean, quite literally, if
you're... Identical.
Yeah.
Except for the colors.
The logo of the Umbrella Corporation and the logo of RLSW, the lab. If you go onto Google and just do a quick search of Wuhan, China virus lab.
Rulong Bao Hu San. I'm part Asian, so I can read this.
No, you're not. Stop.
No, I am. I'm part Filipino. I don't know if you knew that.
I do know that.
So I can read this.
But, well, it's because it's written in English.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, the color scheme is the only difference. One is teal, the other is red.
Yep.
Their logo is exactly the same.
And, you know, the colors themselves probably represent something. And that's very symbolic.
No, actually, if you took that into Photoshop, it is a direct color opposite.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, if you did Control I on that in Photoshop and inverted
red?
It. Yeah, that's the direct inverse of red.
Well, it's like a stoplight. You got green, so there's probably a yellow one out there.
Yeah,
somewhere.
That's just kind of, it's kind of strange. It's an odd little coinkydink, the fact that the two meet.
And I got to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever watched Resident Evil. I'm looking forward to it.
I played the original games.
I really don't know a whole lot about it. I like zombie movies, but I tend to like, you know, it's almost like it's been overdone so much.
Yeah.
You know? I thought Shaun of the Dead was really good.
Well, and, you know, not to get apocalyptic with it, anything like that. Like I said, the death toll is not crazy. We aren't even into a percentile.
Yeah,
if we're talking about the numbers that we were talking about last week that are unofficial numbers but out there.
Yeah.
Like we said, guaranteed the Chinese government is definitely squashing how much is going on.
Well, I'll put it
and
this
what's
way.
There.
I wouldn't travel right now. I was going to go to Chicago next month.
There are four or five major airlines that have canceled all travel abroad to that region.
Yeah.
I had a show here in Austin cancel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had a camera job that canceled.
I can't imagine what this is doing.
I
mean, and that's how it starts. You know, if it does reach a 5% mortality rate, then we're seeing the slow, our society, it breaks down. It starts breaking down. And so I have nothing to sell you regarding, you know, what you should buy. But, I mean, if you have a family, this would be a good time to be prepared is all I got to say.
Yeah.
You know, you should be prepared somewhat. You know.
Well, I'm of the mind that you should always be prepared to begin with. The real question is how do you actively prepare for biological outbreak? You know, there's no way that you can actively prepare for true biological outbreak. There really isn't.
I'd say take a lot of vitamins.
There's really no way that you can truly prepare for an atomic strike. There are just some things that you cannot properly, like you can absolutely properly prepare for a hurricane.
You know, the only way I would prepare for a nuclear strike, I would actually try to play YYZ perfectly one last time and just nail the solo.
I would run and try to find anybody with mescaline.
And then I would hug my family. I would.
It's all ending now.
I
don't care.
Play YYZ.
But you know, as crazy as that all is, the fact that we have this pandemic going on right now, the fact that news is focusing on just about everything except that. And I'm not saying that there aren't news stories out there, but I follow a lot of news agencies, and I'm here to tell you I saw maybe two or three stories about this today. There were not that many that came out today. There are not that many that are covering anything new that's actively happening with it. We have still yet to get the full story on this. We've still yet to hear what the source of this outbreak is, what causes it, how we can actively cure it, if it's going to be a rapidly mutatable form of SARS, because that's what a coronavirus is. It's basically a form of SARS. It's in that family of things. So, yeah, like, we don't know these. These are still unknown quantitatives in the equation. Like, we don't know. We know that it's got to the real scary part.
We do know that we can't ask the real questions. Well, back to what Oliver Stone says.
Yeah,
and precisely. Those questions are, is it a Frankenstein virus? And there's evidence that it is. So please get rid of our fears that it's, please let us know that it truly is a wild virus.
Yeah.
Because if there's all of this evidence, in which is out there, folks, unfortunately, for the media, and they're trying to push it all down like they always do, but there is evidence out there that this virus is a Frankenstein. I'm not, you know, and so all I'm saying is, before we say, oh, well, shut those people up for even saying that, why wouldn't we say, okay, we're going to go find out for sure if this is true or not?
Well, despite whether or not it's a Frankenstein virus, I think really the big issue is the fact that it has a two-week incubation period.
Being genetically modified by Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fact that it's something that's been toyed with, it's not natural, it's man-made, all that kind of stuff. But in addition to that, it's really that mutable quality. How fast does it mutate? How fast does it change into another form now that it has crossed barrier, now that
apparently
it's in people?
Fast.
And in addition to that, we only have a 2 week window. We have 2 weeks where it is non-detectable in the system. So it could change one, two times in that 2 weeks. Depends on how many people it's been around. Depend on how many systems it's had to adjust to in a local ecosystem.
Yeah.
So, are we facing the fact that it might be a pandemic, you know, that we're up against right now? Because I remember whenever the swine flu epidemic started, whenever the avian flu started.
Yeah, that was a bad one too, H1N1.
Oh, yeah.
That killed like 24,000 people.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
And that just happened.
Yep.
You know, so... And they're over there in these labs actually creating biowarfare. That's the problem, is we have biowarfare. We have labs, we have militaries that are creating these things, and they do keep them in labs. And if they do get out, if they leave the lab, then people die.
Well, if you remember, even the anthrax that was used after 9/11 came from American labs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it was stolen and leaked out of labs, you know. So we know where these things come from. Like, these things have signatures inside of them. No different than a processed plutonium or anything like that. You know, we can tell by isotopic generation where these things are made.
Absolutely.
So what is taking so long to find the origin of it? Will we ever be actually told the origin of it is one of the big questions.
You know, I mean, these are questions people asked during the Black Plague, during the Spanish flu. I mean, what, you know, when something like when the planet gets sick, you know, it just gets sick, and whether we made it happen or we didn't, you know, it just, and that's what I'm saying, like the breakdown of society. Like, there's a point where you've got to be prepared, because there will be people that can no longer take care of themselves. there will be desperation. There will be, you know, riots, food riots. There will be, you know, and you've got to think about it, because we're so engineered to think about war and being in a war and going to war and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we don't even think about the Spanish flu in 1918. 50 million people died.
Yeah.
And that was just people getting on boats and
barely 100 years ago.
Yeah, coming back from war. And now we got planes flying all over the world, you know, and you never know where it's going to come from. So all I can say to make you feel more at ease out there and make myself feel more at ease, make you feel more at ease, is just be prepared. That's it.
Yeah.
Because if something, just think ahead, like, okay, you get sick. Kid gets sick. You all get sick. What next? What do you need to get next? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And take care of yourselves out there, people. I love you.
That's it. No, it truly is the fact of taking care of yourself, making sure that you have a couple of steps prepared ahead, that kind of thing. Yeah. John, thank you so much for joining us, as always, for coming in, talking about this stuff, really breaking down Operation Mockingbird this evening, Project Mockingbird, whichever. Stop on by the Knowledge Vault, y'all. Check out the PDF, all kinds of cool stuff there. Tell everybody where they can go to check out John Bound Politics, as well as your work with Daily News Collective.
Well, if you want to connect with me, I'm on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, I'm at Newsbound, B-O-W-N-E, News, B-O-W-N-E, at Twitter. And you'll find all the links, Daily News Collective and Band.video and John Bound Reports and John Bound Politics and HCUniversalNetwork.com. And I can give them your email address.
No. Okay. Don't do that. All right. Don't do that. That thing is riddled with horrible, horrible things.
Spam.
Okay. We can call it spam.
Yeah.
If that's what you kids are calling it these days. Right. So until next time, folks, once again, thank you, John Bound, for joining. Please do hold on. You aren't going anywhere because we're
something.
Live in the studio.
No, I know. I won something.
Yeah. I need to give you your t-shirt.
We're going to go to the gift room.
Hold on. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much to everybody at WMLD, as always, for sharing the show. Welcome to 2020. Been such a great month, been such a great many years. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.